take your Bibles and look at 2 Thessalonians. We'll continue on here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I do love that hymn, How Great Thou Art. You just go anywhere around this world and look at nature and what God's created. You don't have to look very far to see that there's a creator. God's beauty, God's wonder, God's awe in his creation. And he is a great God, and he's worthy of all our adoration and praise and honor that we can give him. So let's take our Bibles tonight and let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to get the context here. We'll start back here in verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. The Bible says here, Paul says, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, again for this day. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for all your blessings that you bestowed upon us this great day. Lord, I pray, Lord, in this last service here, that you would receive glory and honor and praise. I ask for your guidance, Lord. I pray you clear my mind and my heart, Father, and just give the right thoughts and the right words, Lord, and that we would speak these things that are a blessing to you, dear God, and Lord, that would help us to edify the saints, Lord, that we would draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help us to have hearts to hear, ears to hear, and eyes to see. We pray these things now in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we looked at last week, we talked about in verses 2 and 3, Paul states, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And we looked at a few verses there that there's going to come times in your life that you're going to talk with somebody or deal with somebody, and they're going to be unreasonable. You're not going to be able to talk with them no matter how many scriptures you show them. They're going to want to argue with you. They're going to have their viewpoint on it, and they're going to be unreasonable. And then there's also wicked men as well, and they're not going to hear anything you got to say. But Paul says he asked the brethren there to pray that they would be delivered from these types of men, those that are unreasonable and those that are wicked. Because he says, for all men have not faith. Now, as you go out here and you live your life as a Christian, and you go out here and you live out in society, the majority of society today, I would say, brethren, are going to be unreasonable or wicked. They're going to want nothing to do with what you have to say. They're going to want nothing to do with the God of the Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ, according to truth. Now, I believe today that there's another Jesus out there that's being preached, and a lot of the world will go after that Jesus. But a Jesus, according to the scriptures, particularly of a King James Bible, the majority of mankind is going to want nothing to do with the Lord, with the Jesus of this Bible. He says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. The Bible says the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You stay faithful to him. You're born again. You trust him. He's faithful, and he'll establish you, and he will keep you from evil. Verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, I want you to hold your hand there, and just for review here, flip over to the book of James. The book of James. Book of James, and I want you to look at chapter 1. I want you to look at verse number 19. James 1, verse number 19. Paul told the church there at Thessalonica, he says that ye both do and will do the things which we command you, that they will be a doer of what they're hearing. Look at James chapter 1, and look at verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. there's something to try to implement into our lives, that we be individuals that are very quick to hear. He says, swift to hear, that your ears are open to somebody that's speaking, particularly the things of God. Swift to hear, and this is the next hard part where a lot of people fall into trouble, slow to speak. Because we're as human, in our human nature, for a lot of us, when somebody's talking, we're really not listening. That's the truth in a lot of us. You've been in conversations before where you're talking with somebody, and in the back of your mind, you're saying, they ain't hearing a word I'm saying. They're paying attention. They're looking at me. They're paying attention to what they're looking at me, and they're watching me, but they're not hearing what I'm saying because they're trying to formulate an answer to what you're already saying, and they're not even listening to your full sentence. You start it with four words in, and they're already like, this is my answer back, and they missed the next 30 words that you gave, which wasn't nothing to do with the first four you gave. And brethren, the Bible says to be swift to hear. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but there's a proverb that says that don't be so hasty to speak. He that heareth a matter and speaketh hastily, listen, is as a fool. So God desires, the Lord desires, and James telling the church there, and he's telling the brethren, he's listen, I want you to be swift to hear. And when somebody's talking, I want you to be able to take it in. Don't be trying to formulate your answer back to them. Take in what they're saying, especially if it's coming from the word of God. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22 now. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Bible says here that God desires for you to be a doer of the word. It's good to hear the word of God, but now God desires for you not only to hear it, but God desires for you to do it. The same thing Paul's talking there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He's saying that you'll hear, you'll do the things that I'm commanding you to do. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Brethren, being a doer of what the Holy Spirit reveals to our hearts and our mind by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Paul says that ye both do and will do the things which we command you in verse number 4. Now look at verse 5. And God command you, brethren, I'm sorry, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. I want to look at that last part there in verse number 5 real quickly here. Patiently waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned a little bit this morning, brethren, at any moment, according to the word of God, this church here still believes in the rapture, still believes in the blessed hope. We're not post-trib. We believe Jesus Christ is going to come back before the tribulation starts. But with that in mind, we ought to have our eyes towards heaven. And it's been preached about, it's been talked about for many, many years. And what can happen is you can become numb to hearing a preacher say that Jesus Christ could show up at any moment. And what I hope to say to you this evening is don't become numb to the fact that really Jesus Christ could show up at any minute. Tonight on your way home, driving home in that car, all of a sudden you could hear a trumpet sound, and all of a sudden you know, in a twinkling of an eye, you find yourself 300 meters up off this planet. And before you know it, you're being taken up into the clouds to meet your Savior in the sky. That could happen tonight. Amen. And there's nothing withholding that from happening tonight. We can be taken home tonight in a twinkling of an eye. Are you prepared to meet your God like I talked about this morning? But be patient. Be patient. Be patient for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if things were to get bad in this society here in the United States, don't lose your hope of the blessed hope of Jesus Christ coming to take us out of here before the tribulation begins. Be patient. Now verse 6. Now we command you. And you can take a little arrow if you got your Bible and you mark in your Bible, I mark in mine. He says, now we command you, and it goes right back up to the verse number 4, these things which we command you. Well, now he's giving you a command. And he's giving you a command in verse number 6. And he's hoping that you'll do what verse number... In verse 4, he's hoping you'll do what's written in verse number 6. Okay? Look what he says in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. And how's his command? What's the authority of his command? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, brethren, if somebody preaches and teaches you and it doesn't line up in the Word of God, you don't listen to a thing they got to say. But if what they got to say lines up in the Bible and they're just saying what the Bible says, don't shoot the messenger. Look, how many of you in this room get mail? How many have a mailbox outside? Yeah. Let's say you know a bill's coming up, right? You got a bill, you got taxes coming in. And all of a sudden, you pull in the driveway at the same time your mailman's there getting ready to put the mail in the mailbox. He's getting ready to pull it down. He says, no, I'm right here. Just give it to me. He says, all right, here it goes. And the first letter you see is a tax bill, and you go, wham! How dare you give me a tax bill? Don't you realize I have no money? And you start beating this guy. That's what a lot of people do to preachers. Yeah, true. I'm just trying to deliver mail. Hopefully. Don't shoot the messenger. It'd be like you guys getting mad at whatever music's coming through these speakers and you start ripping them off the wall and start beating a speaker. The speaker's just putting forth what Melanie's playing back there. Actually, we can't do that, so yeah, don't throw nothing at Melanie. What I'm saying is you don't destroy the speaker. You go to the source. Okay? So don't get mad at a pastor if the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to something, but it's very easy to get mad at the pastor because that's somebody you can see. See, a lot of people will get mad at a pastor, but they won't dare shake their fist towards God. So now we got a command here. And look what his command is. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. If there's somebody in your life, brethren, that's walking disorderly. The word disorderly means in a manner violating law or good order, in a manner contrary to the rules established. He says here, withdraw yourselves from every brother that worketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Brethren, if somebody in your life that calls himself a brother and they're walking contrary to the scriptures and they're in sin, you ought not to be having fellowship with them. You ought not to be having fellowship. Brethren, and I'm going to say this, and I know probably a lot of people don't like it, but I guess I'm old school even though I'm not a very old. Brethren, if somebody's living in fornication, you do not fellowship with them. It's called shacking up. If you're living together as a man and a woman and you're not married, you ought not to be fellowshipping, and they claim to be a brother or sister in the Lord, you ought not to be fellowshipping with them. That's Bible. You say, well, they're not sleeping with each other. They're not having any relations there. Yes, but it's an appearance of evil. And we don't know by looking on the outside in at that thing that they aren't having those relations. But the appearance is there. Brethren, the Bible's clear on this thing, and there's a lot of Christians today, they're fellowshipping with people that claim the name of Christ. They ought not to be fellowship with them because they're walking disorderly. And that's a command from Paul by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not popular today. The thing that's popular today is just go out there, do what you want to do, live how you want to live. But brethren, the Bible makes it clear that we're not to have fellowship with those that call themselves brothers or sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ and they live in sin. Rather, you ought to be rebuking them and telling them to depart from the sin that they're living in. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. If they name the name of Jesus Christ, you ought to deal with them about it, and if they won't get it right, if they won't humble down, you ought to be breaking fellowship with them. Brethren, that's what's missing today in a lot of our lives. Now, brethren, I'm not talking about, listen, you can't go out of this world. You can't leave this world. But if you got somebody that names the name of Christ, they say they're saved, and they're living with somebody, and they're not married, you ought not to be fellowshipping. You say, well, that's rough, that's hard. Yeah, it is, but hopefully to get that person to think about the direction they're heading in their life and how they're sinning against God. Brethren, God doesn't take very kindly to fornication. Just read your Old Testament. God imputed righteousness to Phinehas when the children of Israel were falling into fornication. Those brethren, some of those Israelites had such the audacity that one Israelite took a woman and passed by Phinehas and the rest of the children of Israel as they're weeping and went into a tent and began to have relations with this woman. And it angered Phinehas so much that Phinehas took a spear. He went into that tent and he smote them both through with that spear. Why? Because they're committing fornication right in the eyesight of God Almighty. Brethren, these are serious matters. See, I'm afraid a lot of Christians today, they make excuses for those that they love that are in their lives for the sin that they're living in. And we ought not to make excuses for those that we love that are in our lives that are living in sin that claim the name of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they're giving a false impression of who Jesus is. Please hear me. The brethren, they are misrepresenting the Lord Jesus Christ by the sin that they're living in. And by you agreeing with it, you're coming right in line with them as well. Brethren, they ought to be rebuked. And they say, if you love each other, if you really love each other, then go get married. But don't live together like it's some trial period trying to figure this thing out. You're never going to get married. Right. If you love someone, get married. Don't just live together. That's sin. And it's appearance of sin, even if nothing's happening. All right? Real quiet now. Here we go. Let's go into verse number 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Brethren, I want to talk a little bit here about this evening, and I think it's something very important. It's a matter of working.
Yeah, come on.
And we got a society today of individuals who are unwilling to work. God desires for us to work, and the Apostle Paul set the example for us. You see, the problem today, if individuals are not willing to work, the problem comes in is that they become busybodies. That word busybody means a meddling person, one who officiously concerns himself with the affairs of others. Take your Bible and look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 13. Actually, look up at verse number 11. Now, this is dealing with widows. God gives directions on how to deal with and how to handle those that are widows. But look what he says in 1 Timothy 5, verse number 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Verse 13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to who? The adversary, to speak reproachfully. Brethren, God has established a man and woman come together, and if it's possible, to have children. And by a woman having a child, especially these widows here, by them having children, it's going to keep them from getting into trouble. Now, men are prone to this, but ladies are more prone to this of being and getting meddling in situations. Tattlers, busybodies, talking on the phone or saying, hey, did you see this? And this person said that. Or very quick to have information pass quickly. And the Apostle Paul gives guidance and wisdom to Timothy, particularly to young widows, that they, if they're not going to live wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they marry so that they're not idle, wandering from house to house and being tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And brethren, today, it is even more rampant because of our cell phones. Right. How easy is it to pick up that phone today and start talking about somebody else? Very easy. How easy is it today, brethren? I don't have any of the social media platforms, but how easy is it today to get on there and speak something about somebody else you don't like? Very quick, very easy. Very easy. But you know why that happens? Is because you got idle time. Your cell phones are so dangerous because they can get you into trouble quicker than you can shake a stick at it. Because in an instant, you can find yourself in a mess or you can create a mess in a moment because you're idle. Take your Bible. Look back over here at 2 Thessalonians. All right? It's important that we stay busy. It's important that we stay busy. The Apostle Paul set the example as a worker. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I want you to look at verse number 32. Acts 20, verse 32. And as you have your hand there in Acts chapter 20 and at verse 32, I want you to hold your hand still there in 2 Thessalonians because we're going to put these two verses together. I want you to look at verse number 8 of chapter 3 in 2 Thessalonians, and then we're going to read what's written about Paul in Acts chapter 20. Look what 2 Thessalonians 3:8 says. It's a continuation from verse number 7. Paul says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul says basically in verse number 8, listen, we just didn't come into your town, eat your food, eat your bread, drink your drink, and have a good old time and filled ourselves with your hard work, and you put this food out here, and we just filled ourselves. No, Paul says we worked as well so that we wouldn't be chargeable to you, saying that you're only here because you want food. Paul says, no, we worked for our food. Look at Acts chapter 20 now, and look at verse number 32. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Look what he says in verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul was a tent maker. We're not going to read it here tonight, but Paul was a tent maker. And Paul says, I was willing with my hands to work. Paul said, I set the example. I was willing to go out there and work so that you couldn't blame me, saying the only reason I'm coming into your town is because I'm a freeloader and want whatever money you can give me. And you got a lot of preachers today that they're freeloaders. Just pay me, give me what I deserve. You're my servant. I'm not a servant to you. You serve me. You give me, give me, give me. And they're chargeable. Brethren, every one of us in this room ought to be willing to work. And we ought to be willing to set the example. Brethren, I try by God's grace, brethren. I'm willing to go in there and clean those toilets out. I ain't got no problem cleaning the toilet. You know why? Because I believe this. I believe any good leader ought to set the example. Amen. If you see a piece of trash out here in the parking lot, pick it up. I'll pick it up. If I see trash there, if I see trash on a carpet, if I see something, pick it up, throw it in a trash can. Well, I'm the preacher, I shouldn't have to pick up trash. Nonsense. Nonsense. Any good leader ought to set the example. And Paul was a very, very good example for us. And Paul, brethren, Paul said he had power to where he didn't have to work. Paul very easily could have went in there and he had the authority to say, I deserve to be paid of you because I represent God. But Paul didn't do that. Paul set the example by his own hands. Now, as we close out here this evening, we ought not to be slothful or sluggard. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. And the rest of this message here this evening, I'm preaching to the men that are in the room that we ought to set the example. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 30. I was told of a preacher one time that some of his men and them, they went on a camping trip or something, but they had a cabin. And at one point through the camping trip in the cabin, there was a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink. And one of the men asked the preacher to come over and help him to try maybe to get some of these dishes cleaned up. And the preacher said, that's not my job. Yeah, exactly. Well, here's my resignation as a member of your church, my friend. I'm serious, brethren. We got too many people today, they're lazy. They're just lazy. They're just apt. Look, brethren, God, this is what I believe. God desires for us not only to do the things we need to do, but to go the extra mile in the things that we do. Not just do what we've got to do, but to do things that we're not supposed to do or have to do, but do them because we love God. Brethren, I'm serious on these things. I'm real serious. Because I think God takes notice of those things. I believe God takes notice of those things. He notices the little things that you do that nobody else recognizes it, but God sees when you take that extra mile and when nobody else sees it. And all that matters is that God sees it. God takes pleasure, I believe, in those that will go the extra mile and do the right thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all green, or it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs here says that, listen, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, guess what? Your field's going to get broken down. Your walls are going to come down. The thorns and the nettles are going to spring up, and you're going to have a mess in a place where there ought to be a garden. There's a mess. Why? Because the man wouldn't get up out of his sleep, and he wouldn't work. Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 18. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. God does not bless slothfulness. God does not bless a sluggard. God does not bless laziness. God desires for us to work and to be about his business. Ecclesiastes 10, look at verse number 18. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. It's good to see things that need to be done, but what's needed is hands to do something that needs to be done. Well, this needs to be fixed. Well, then go ahead and try to fix it. Look, I'll speak to the young men I'll speak to those that are still living at home. If you see the trash needs to be taken out, take the trash out. Well, it's not my job. Who said it had to be your job? Take the trash out. If you see something that, look, brethren, if you are living in somebody's home and they're paying the rent, do what you can do in that home to be a blessing. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. Well, it's not my job. It's not my duty. Listen, Are you paying the rent? Are you paying the electric bill? Are you paying? Listen, if it's not your home and you're staying there with somebody and they're allowing you graciously to be there, brethren, you ought to go above and beyond for their hospitality. You say, well, I pay a little bit. I help pay this. That's good and that's right, but that's still their home. And I believe God expects us to go beyond and listen, be a witness and a testimony to all those that are around us. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 11. Proverbs 12, verse number 11. The slothful follow vain persons. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 11. The Bible says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. I believe this should be implemented in our society today. You don't work, you don't eat. Amen. I don't think, brethren, I understand why they initially established the welfare system. I understand it, but today it has brought ruination to our country. Brethren, I am not for food stamps. Brethren, when I was in the military, when I was first in the military, we didn't get paid. We were eligible by government programs to get food stamps, and I was in the military because of the pay. I don't want the food stamps. Brethren, what that does is it enables people. And what the Bible says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. If you're not, brethren, you would see, brethren, some of it's happened already and people are getting upset at it. If all of a sudden the government programs were taken away and people actually had to work and get out there to get their food, they'd get out there and they'd work for their food.
That's right.
Brethren, you say, preacher, that's hard, that's harsh. Brethren, you want to see something that's hard and it's harsh? You need to read about the famine that occurred over in Ireland in the 1800s. That famine was horrible. I don't know how many people over there died from that famine because they didn't have food. They relied, the poor people there in Ireland relied on the potatoes. And there was a blight that came through and destroyed the majority of their potato crops. And the next year coming in, they didn't have potatoes from the previous year to grow. And there was many people that starved to death. And they would get out there and they would eat anything they can find. They were willing to work, but guess what? There was no work because the government wouldn't provide it for them. And a lot of people lost their lives. You see, our country today, we have enabled a generation that's spoiled and not willing to work. Brethren, when I see a healthy man out there on a street corner, and he's holding up a sign saying, asking for donations, hey, Wendy's right behind you is hiring. I ain't got no time for it. I don't even care if you got the veteran sign. I'm a veteran and you're standing there. Go get a job. I don't have no time for it, brethren. Get out there and work and work and work and work and work and don't bring a bad name to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. You get out there, you plow your fields, you plant your crops, you're going to have food to eat. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Who else did we just read about that's void of understanding over there in Proverbs chapter 24? That individual that had his walls broken down and those thorns and nettles were growing up over, that was also a man that was void of understanding. This man here, look, your King James Bible is so on target, it isn't even funny. What do you do today on social media platforms? You follow people. And the Bible says here that he follows a vain person. And how many vain people there are on YouTube right now that put forth nothing that makes any sense. It does nothing for you. All it is entertainment, and you're following a vain person, void of understanding. Think about this for a moment. If as much time that we spent just flipping through our social media platforms, just entertaining ourselves, if we put that time into knowing more about God and His Word, where would we be at spiritually? If the amount of time that we spent watching a movie or television programs or the news or any type of those facets, listen, brethren, I'm not saying there's not times to know these certain things, but I'm talking about, brethren, we don't have to watch the news 24/7. We don't have to watch, listen, I knew a man one time, he had 24/7, he had on his television screen basically the Wall Street updates on his television, consistently. Brethren, we got to be careful not to follow vain persons who are void of understanding. You know why? Because you follow those types of things, you're going to end up with nothing. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. You're going to have nothing. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That's a good cross reference back over to chapter 12, verse number 11. A farmer has got to be diligent. And if a farmer remains diligent and God blesses him, he'll have food to put on his table. But you got somebody that's a sluggard, a soul of a sluggard, he'll desire and he'll have nothing. Why? Because he's not willing to get out there and work and provide. Sluggard also falls into a deep sleep and he gets hungry. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about a lazy individual. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 15. I'm reading these verses tonight because Paul was willing to work. Paul wasn't caught up with being a busybody or a tattler. He worked for his food. God blessed him. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 and look at verse number 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. There's also another saying that says an idle soul is a devil's playground. An idle soul, I-D-L-E. Brethren, if you got free time, be careful with it. Be very, very careful with your free time. It says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I've heard a lot of preachers talk about this, or preachers through the years talking about, particularly with young men, you always got to make sure that your mind is engaged. That's what's the danger today, brethren, with video games. Because when you play these, especially today, how crazy these video games are today compared to what they were 20, 30 years ago. It's nothing like it was 20, 30 years ago. Brethren, if you sit there and you're playing a video game, you're going into what's called a passive state. Even though you're engaged with what you're doing on that television screen or computer screen or whatever you're playing it on, even though you're engaged with it, your mind is slipping out of gear. And it's very dangerous, the things and how it can affect your mind, brethren. Your mind is always to be engaged. And if your mind becomes unengaged, you leave a crack in for the enemy to get into your mind. Brethren, I'll tell you how bad it is. You can read about some cafes over there in Japan. They are addicted to games. And they'll go into these cafes and they'll stay there so long that they'll wear diapers because they won't go to the bathroom in a restroom. Because they're so addicted to that game. They won't get up and pause or whatever and go to the bathroom. They'll just go right there in their seat. Brethren, that's an idle soul. And I believe this, as sure as I'm standing here tonight, brethren, and I take it back to what I talked about and what was coming across our path 2 or 3 weeks ago about that Satan temple or whatever it is coming into our schools. Brethren, something came across my path the other day, a television show put out there talking about evil spirits in schools, and it was some program to be entertained by. I'm not surprised that you want these groups now to set up Satan's temple and teach our young people, because it's inundated on television and entertainment. You know what the devil's done a masterful job with? He has created within our country a country of lazy individuals. And COVID-19 didn't help it. oh, I can't go to work because my boss raised his voice at me, and now I have a mental illness, and I need to be paid for the next 5 years, and I want double my salary, and maybe I'll get out of bed tomorrow. You'll get out of bed if you ain't got no food.
God's right. Preach that
truth.
Absolutely. Brethren, it's coming to our ruination. Brethren, with the stuff that's going on in China, stuff's going on in Russia, brethren, I believe this country had to do a draft today like it had to do back in the 60s and 70s for the Vietnam War. Brethren, we couldn't draft enough people to defend this country like it needs to be defended. The men that were drafted in the 60s and 70s to help this country fight that war over in Vietnam, the character of those men, listen, the character of society today can't even light a candle to those men's character. Brethren, if you can't handle a boss getting on you, how are you going to handle with bombs going off around you? How are you going to handle when guns are being shot at you when you can't even handle somebody raising your voice at you? It's the truth, brethren. Our country's in trouble today. It's in bad trouble. We have got a nation, I believe, of sluggards. And you know what laziness leads to? It leads to cowards. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 13. Laziness leads to cowardness. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I'll go out there and I'll take him out for my family. No, he says, I shall be slain in the streets. He's scared to go out there because there's a lion. Take your Bible. If it wasn't one time in the Bible, God gives it to us twice. Look at Proverbs chapter 26 and look at verse 13. Proverbs 26, look at verse 13. It's mentioned again here in chapter 26. Look at chapter 26 and look at verse number 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He can't even feed himself. He's so lazy. Verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Brethren, not only does laziness lead to becoming a coward, to where you're not willing to stand and fight for what's right, it leads you to a point to where you can't even be reasoned with. And that's why I particularly believe in the day and the hours and the perilous times that we're living in, you're not going to see a multitude of people get saved because you can't even talk to them about salvation. Why? Because they're lazy. And the Bible says a sluggard, you cannot reason with a lazy man. It says the sluggard is wiser in his own conceits, his own imaginations, his own thoughts, in what he thinks, than seven men that can render him a reason. You could get seven wise, good men together, and they can come up to this one man that's lazy and say, this is why you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Bible says this. This is why that. And that sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven individuals who are trying to reason with him. Why? Because he's lazy. And you can't reason with a lazy individual. You know why? Because, brethren, I'm telling you, it all goes hand in hand. An individual's not going to come to salvation in Jesus Christ if they're lazy. Because God does not bless laziness. And you can cross-reference these verses back to Proverbs chapter 2, which we looked at like 2 or 3 weeks ago, about inclining your ear, crying, searching for wisdom, applying yourself, hiding it. That's someone that wants to know truth. Guess what? You got to dig to want to know truth. God's not going to bless laziness. Therefore, you can't reason with a sluggard. You know, another thing here as we close out, two more verses here, about a sluggard or a lazy person, they waste a lot of stuff. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse number 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. I'm sure a lot of you men in here and women in here that have worked jobs and been out there on that workforce, you've seen people waste a lot of the company's money by the things they throw away, which ought not to be thrown away. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says here in Proverbs 18, verse 9, it says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Does anybody see this thing in the news about that young man that threw away all those groceries? It's like $250,000 worth of groceries at what? You remember what supermarket?
I don't know where, but he wanted it to look nice, so he didn't want any overstocks, so he was just throwing everything away.
It was in the news. A couple $100,000 worth of groceries. I don't know if it was Weiss or it was one supermarket chain. He threw $250,000 worth of groceries in the trash because he wanted to look a certain way and not have overstock. Brethren, a sluggard's wiser knows his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Brethren, Paul says you must be willing to work. You know what a sluggard also wants done? Everything for him. And I think I already read it, but look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 24. I read it before, but look at it real quick. You've got to do everything for a slothful man and a sluggard. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. Basically, he's got his hands in his pockets. He will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You got to do everything for them. Brethren, now go back as we close up here tonight, back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I agree with Apostle Paul here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says in verse number 9, what I was talking about before, that he had power to say that they ought to take care of him. Look what he says in verse 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, set the example. Verse number 10. For when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's what Paul said. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God here, he tells Paul to write this thing down. And Paul says, if you're not willing to work, neither should you eat. Amen. Now, I'm going to throw this out there so you just don't think I'm a big meanie. All right? I am actually kind of nice. And I do care for people. I really do. And I used to tell this to the kids I used to work at in the juvenile center because I knew a lot, I'd say 90%, if not higher, percentage of young men I worked with lived in horrible conditions. Horrible conditions. Some of them went days without food. Their mama was a drug addict, and it was just bad. They tried to provide for their siblings. It was just horrible. They didn't have food, and that's why a lot of them got involved in crime, because that was the only way to make a quick buck in order to try to feed little sister at home. Okay? And I used to tell them this. I used to say, listen, you go back home, and you do everything you possibly can do, and you still can't pay the bills, even though your mama's there, whoever you're living with, your grandma, whoever you're with, and you're struggling to pay the bills, but you're going to school, you're trying to do what you can do, you're doing everything in your power to do the right things, you call me up and I'll try to pay your electric bill. You call me up and you need help getting groceries, I'll be over there, I'll try to get there first thing, we'll go to the supermarket and we'll get you groceries that you need to eat. If you need to pay the water bill, tell me. I'll try to do my best to help you pay that water bill. If you're doing everything you possibly can do with the power you have, and I'm willing to step in. But don't call me up, and I find out you're not doing what you're doing, and you're spending the majority of your time playing video games, and you're sleeping half of the day away, and you're not going to school, and you're not trying to apply yourself. Do not call me up, because I am not going to help you. But if you're doing everything you can do, and you're still falling short, I'm willing to help you as much as I possibly can help you. But if you're not going to try to help yourself, I'll never be able to help you. Brethren, people have got to get to the point to where they strive to try to help themselves before they can ever receive help from somebody else. And if you're not willing to help yourself, no matter how much help you get from out there, it will never help you because you're not first willing to help yourself. And this is where I want to close. It used to be when people began to hit rock bottom, they would come to God and the church for help. Yeah. But our society today has set it up to where you don't got to come to God no more. You don't got to come to the church house no more. You don't got to face yourself before God. No, you can just run down to the local welfare center or the social service center and they'll help you get what you got even while you're still living in sin. Right. Brethren, it ought not to be that way. People ought to hit rock bottom and see their need of Jesus Christ. And the church ought to be there to help them and bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would love at some point, we used to try to do this in the juvenile center. We would ask people to donate, dress shirts and ties and pants for the young men there. So that when they got out of there, they could at least have a pair of dress pants, a dress shirt, and a tie for job interviews. I would love to have a clothes closet here. Now, don't start bringing clothes in here because I can't handle that right now, okay? I know this. I'll come in tomorrow and it'll be like 10 bags here. Here, preacher, I cleaned out my closet. No. I'm saying someday I would love to have something like that, to use it as a tool to reach the community to help, but then to also bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in with it. Amen. That is what the church ought to do. It ought to be there to help those that need help and are trying to get out of the situation they're in. God forbid they run to the government rather than trying to run to the church and try to find help in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said if they wouldn't work, they shouldn't eat. Verse number 11, for we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, here's that command again, back up to verse number 4. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Paul's saying, if you're not willing to work, neither should you eat. Especially if you name the name of Jesus Christ. And if you can't work because you got a disability, a legitimate disability, then the church ought to be there to help those individuals and not let them just flounder along in this life. We ought to be there to support and help one another, especially those that cannot help themselves. Having discernment in all of it, brethren, God knows our situations, but if we can work, we ought to work to support ourselves and also try to help others as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. We kind of went all kinds of different ways this evening, Lord. But Lord, I pray you'd bring it all together. God, I pray you'd help us not to be lazy. Lord, I pray you'd help us not to be a sluggard or slothful. Lord, but we would be busy about your business, dear God, and that we'd work for the night is coming when men can work no more. Lord, help us to do your will. Lord, I pray you'd help us, dear God, as a church here, Ray Street Baptist Church. Lord, help us to be a help to the community as you see fit, Lord. Lord, bring across our paths those that may need help, Lord, and that might have an opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, but if we are able to work and we are able to do, Lord, help us not to be lazy, but to do those things that you put across our path. Lord, that we would be a good example and a testimony to this world out here, Father. Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. We ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.